Good morning. There was an interesting article in The Guardian this week, a commentary by Kianga Yamada Taylor on the Women's March last weekend. So we're going to start with this, and then I'll have Todd comment on it. Here's from the article. The scale of the Trump right-wing attack is as deep as it is wide. And this means that we will need a mass movement to confront it. To organize such a movement necessarily means it will involve the previously uninitiated, those who are new to activism and organizing. We have to welcome those people and stop the arrogant, moralistic chastising of anyone who is not as, quote, woke. Well, Todd, what about this point of welcoming new activists? How to do that, particularly bring people into a cultural life that has its own rules, some written, some not, mostly not, and cultural codes that may be unfamiliar to newcomers, as well as just the emotional intensity of this kind of work?
Yeah, it's really important to recognize that how many different emotions are involved in different ways for different people. Some are mostly angry, some are sad, some are excited to feel solidarity with others for the first time around the cause they care about and see millions of people in the streets. And so it's certainly a high and complex moment emotionally for those who are involved.
And we saw that in the Women's March last weekend with the march. And I was reminded of a thought that often comes to mind during marches, and the Portland one, it was similarly exhilarating, that rallies are to movements like sex is to couples. There's this feeling of merger, if it goes well, merging of bodies and excitement and pleasure and a sense of the power and exuberance of the moment, and yet there's getting up the next morning and doing the dishes and laundry, the everyday work of relationships as well as movements. How do you think about that shift from the emotional intensity of rallies to the everyday work?
Yeah, that's why a lot more people show up for the rallies than for the day-to-day meetings that organize them, right? Yeah, it's a big obstacle to our organizing, that the work of moving through the different phases of a movement and from inception, you know, outrage against something that's happening to the fight, you know, ending up in legislation or political candidates or things that are sort of within the system, right? There's so much work that has to be done by small groups that are specialists on the issue, where and it's all usually volunteer, sometimes nonprofits are involved in this and so forth. And there's a whole specific culture of practice, you could call it community of practice, that evolves especially in sort of left organizing, that where there's a convergence of models that are quite different from people's past experience, like especially when we're talking about mostly new activists now who might be coming for the first time into the anti-Trump resistance now, and some people will bring their past experience in business, the business world, or in nonprofits, or some from grassroots anarchist, non-hierarchical organizing, and you get these kind of three groups like that together trying to work on climate change or something. You're going to have all sorts of different ideas about how do we even have a meeting.
And how do you evaluate the efficiency of a meeting? You know, there's that old line, the problem with socialism is too many meetings, and often there's a complaint about meetings and a kind of counterposing of talk versus action. Right. And yet, of course, as anyone who's traveled much in the world outside of the West and the North, you know, many places in the world, it takes a half hour to say hello. You don't just do your business. You first, right. How is your mother? How is your auntie? And you establish the person you're speaking to in the context of a group. And I often find that helpful when I'm sitting through a meeting that seems agonizingly slow and it's getting to the, you know, the aims of the meeting.
Yeah, well, lots of grassroots meetings start with a fairly long check-in where maybe 20 people will say 1 or 2 minutes each about who are they, what's their preferred gender pronoun, what's something in their personal life that's going on. And
the state just as a way of mind they're bringing to the...
Yeah, and it may take 30 minutes, 40 minutes of a meeting that will last 2 hours, but it's really, really important for people to both leave stuff outside, you know, bring in, you know, let people know where they are. So If they're sad about something that doesn't have to do with the meeting, then people will know that, you know, and it also helps people get to know each other over time so that they have a more personal connection to the people who are in the room with them and help people feel connected and recognized for being there.
But that often, as important as that is, there is this aspect of finding a relational grounding or attachments that hold you in a group. And often it can be scary for people to speak in meetings or even for some people to be in a group, and other people have a kind of ease with it. What about that relational side of getting, you know, I guess you could call it forms of mentorship or having a friend, finding friendship in groups where you can feel kind of lost or even alienated?
Yeah, groups that are really affected are going to have a specific orientation process where maybe a buddy system or a mentoring system or separate meetings where they help people know not only sort of the politics of the issue they work on, but how do we work as a group? How do we make decisions? How do we share the airtime together as we speak? And how do we make sure that each person gets heard?
And that also carries a history of there are different politics attached to process, and that's a larger topic for another day. But you're saying that people have a right to some explanation around the process when they come into groups, even though there's perhaps also an irreducible tension that you feel coming into a group, and no one can really spare you of a certain amount of awkwardness when you come into a new group.
Right. You can't get up to speed right away, but it's one of the saddest things for me is when you see a person who is new to an issue show up at a meeting for the first time. There's no attempt to help them know even what the acronyms are that are being used, or so they're lost half the, they sit there for 2 hours, can't say anything, and they can't volunteer for anything, and so they never come back sometimes. And we lose that energy that they would have had if there had been, oh, you're new, thanks for being here, let's fill you in a bit about what's going on here, and we have a separate meeting to help you connect and meet some people here, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think implicit in that quote from the Guardian piece at the beginning is that the tension and even the ambivalence, kind of the old timers, people who've been in a movement and doing the day-to-day work around issues, and then there's an influx of new people who are feeling empowered for the first time. Before we go on to the calendar for the week, we're both old timers, been at this a long time. And I try to be conscious of that dynamic, mm-hmm. of one might call it an intergenerational dynamic. How do you handle that? Young people coming in and wanting to push you aside.
Well, yeah, I think there's more recognition that elders do have something to contribute. But I think the problem is usually that elders are trying to still run things, and when we need to step aside and help out and at least be on an equal plane with others. So what is happening, Jan, in our KBOO Old Mole action calendar this week?
We should call it the action calendar, but we should now modify it to the talk and action calendar. Well, fortunately, you have a chance to take these lessons into practice starting out your week. Today at noon, a local coalition of a number of groups invites all people to show support for immigrants and refugees by attending the noon rally downtown. It's called No Ban, No Wall. It's today at noon at the Terry Shrunk Plaza between 3rd and 4th Avenue on Southwest Madison. And Thursday also is a great day for activism. At 2 p.m., there'll be a city council meeting that everyone in the community is encouraged to attend around the evictions and rent increases in Portland, an important issue around housing politics. The city council will be voting on Chloe Udalie's first proposal as a commissioner, the progressive commissioner, that'll require landlords to pay moving costs for tenants evicted with no cause, as well as tenants economically evicted by rent increases. That's at City Hall, Southwest 4th and Madison at 1 p.m. On Thursday. There'll be the rally before the 2 p.m. meeting at City Hall. So try to show up for that rally at 1 as well as a 2 p.m. meeting at City Hall to show we can really fill the hall. And then that evening, Thursday, February 2nd at 7 p.m., there'll be a panel discussion on how to apply lessons learned at Standing Rock to continuing fossil fuel resistance efforts in the Pacific Northwest. It will be at the Patagonia at the Eco Trust Building, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue, and hosted by Northwest Neighborhood Group of 350 PDX. So,
it's going to be important for people not only to show up on the streets, but also go to the meetings of these organizations that are organizing the rallies. Both places are a place to be present these days.
Yeah, and let us know on the Old Mole Activist Calendar Group how they go. Okay, so this is Jan Hawken and Todd Sloan talking today about coming into activism as a newcomer and going through some of what came to us as highlights of the week for the Old Mole Activist Calendar.
Twas down in Mississippi not so long ago, when a young boy from Chicago town walked in a southern door, this boy's fateful tragedy.